What's shaking, wrestling fans? Welcome to the first episode of the Next Gen Podcast, where we'll be reviewing WWE's developmental show, NXT, which airs weekly on the WWE Network, as well as other avenues, depending on where you're watching it. We're going to be having some familiar faces on this show that you may know from other wrestling shows, including the Raw Post Show on Mega Powers Radio, Keeping Kayfabe, Smack Talk, and who knows where else might get turned up on here. For this first episode, I'll be hosting the main part of it. My name is Mike Payton. Joining me tonight, I have Tony Mango, main man of Smack Talk and owner of SmartCutMoment.com. What's shaking, Tony?
Not too much, not too much. Glad I was able to check out this episode. I actually almost skipped out on it, but NXT is always fun, so woo.
I've been a big fan of NXT for quite some time, even before they got onto the network, and I have a hard time always trying to keep up with it, and I think just because I never had the proper excuse. As much as I don't want to always watch Raw every week, I always do because I have the show. So I'm thinking if I turn this into a show form, perhaps it'll make me be a little more diligent on it and also make me analyze the show maybe in a way that I haven't been before, because a lot of these faces that we're seeing on NXT are going to end up being on Raw one day, and I'll be talking about them on the Raw post show. So it's kind of a good way to get an idea of what's coming up in the future. Where do you stay with NXT?
You know, if NXT wasn't such a good show, I probably wouldn't bother watching it, even though it's got the ramifications for the future. Because when it was the, what was it, fourth or the fifth season, I think, where they had, like, the redemption thing.
Yeah, I'm not talking about that shit.
But, like, when NXT first came around, they were doing the, you know, the American Gladiators version of it, sort of. Mm-hmm. I was really interested because it was like, well, these guys are going to be big players. Like, the same kind of reason that we would look at the current crop. But they never really, like, after the Nexus, it kind of just fell off the face of the earth.
Yeah, season one, that's it.
Yeah, when it came down to the redemption thing, it was like, all right, well, then there is no future. WWE is just terrible, but
when they're flat out admitting, it's like, all right, we got to redeem these guys.
Not only do we have to redeem these guys, but we're going to keep the season going longer than ever because we don't have an end to it. Like, these guys will just never get redeemed. But when the new NXT came around, it was like, well, it's either going to be as bad as that, or they're going to run themselves ragged and it's going to be worse than that, or they'll figure it out. And thankfully they did. And NXT has been awesome since the beginning mm-hmm. of the network. Really hasn't been a single time where I've been like, ugh, NXT.
It existed for a little bit before they made their WWE Network debut, but that was February-ish last year. They were actually the first big live special to happen on the WWE Network before WrestleMania, so they have that distinction going for them. And consistently, every single big event that they've had on there has just been fantastic. Like, anyone who tunes in is more than glad that they did. They're talking about it the next day. Often, people say it outdoes the WWE shows.
Yeah, I can't disagree with that. There's a lot of times where I'd much rather watch another extra hour of NXT than watch even half of Raw.
Oh, that's and a nice thing about NXT show. It's only an hour. Mm-hmm. It's a fantastic bite-sized bit of wrestling, and it's going to make for a nice, easy bit to talk about it, too, because we're not going to have to sit here and break down 20 different segments of backstage nonsense.
To build up the same main event.
Mm-hmm.
That was a tag match.
let's dig into this week's episode. It is May 27th, the first week after the NXT Unstoppable special event. I figure this is a good time to start, basically being the beginning of a new season for NXT. So we're going to take it from the beginning here. We start off with a recap video of NXT's Unstoppable event. If you want to hear the full breakdown of that pay-per-view, we actually did a little bit of review on it for Smack Talk, so go and check that one there. This show, we begin by the, how do I describe it? Sami Zayn in his main event match in Unstoppable got his ass kicked. So we hear his music playing at the start of the show, thinking that it's going to be the big return for him. But nope, we are greeted by NXT champion Kevin Owens. I've seen this happen a bunch of times. It's still fun, though. I mean, the crowd bought right into it, got super big pop for Sami Zayn, just because of how much they genuinely love Sami Zayn. And then for Kevin Owens to come out, and I'll say this throughout the time, as much as people like Kevin Owens, he's finding ways to still get people to boo him, and that's something I got to give him so much credit for.
Plus, it's so funny seeing Kevin Owens come out to that theme, because it's like, it doesn't fit him at all.
No,
I'm a fat guy, and I don't go to the theme.
He's like just like slowly sauntering his way down there sideways.
Can you imagine, though, if they were to tweak his character just a little bit, how well it would fit? You think? If he was like the jolly fat guy.
Oh god.
Like give him like a Hawaiian shirt and like some kind of a stupid beanie and just have him like dance to the ring and have that theme, it would be amazing.
It'd they got that picture of him with the Mickey Mouse ears. Yeah, turn that into his character.
That would be like the perfect theme song for him.
Doesn't he have some really strange like real life characteristic where he's obsessed with zoos?
Really?
Yeah, I think that's the thing about Kevin Owens. He loves zoos, and every time they're anywhere where there's a zoo, he has to go and check it out.
And he's just got that theme playing in his head when he's like so happy, like a giddy little school child or something.
Oh, look, there is a giraffe. Oh, hey, there's a lion. Zebra
standing next to it. He actually made fun of the song, though, later on in the promo. I thought that was funny.
He even does some of Sami Zayn's little cheers, like when he's on the steps, he raises the arms up. I thought it would have been clever if he like went and like held his arm after he did it, like, ow.
Oh, man, I injured myself doing this. Fuck.
Crowd is chanting Olay at him right away. I think it's great how they've embraced that still. And WWE doesn't go full onto it like they have with the Fight Owens Fight chant, but they still acknowledge it once in a while. People saying Olay for him.
Mm-hmm. Although they probably have to be so pissed because they wanted people to do that with Los Matadores.
You think so? Well, they wanted to say Olay, but I don't think they wanted them to sing that song.
Maybe not necessarily, but, you know, if they've got, like, one person doing Olay and the other person doing Olay, you would think that they would be like, well, can you just stop doing that for for Sami Zayn, and can you just do that for Los Matadores? Nope. Okay.
Well, as Kevin Owens is stepping his way into the ring, we get a replay of him attacking John Cena this past Monday on Raw. During the opening, they also showed him being confronted by Samoa Joe, not to mention that he also potentially may have attacked Hideo Itami. He also has a new number one contender in Finn Balor. Man, Kevin Owens has a lot going on at one time.
I'd love to see that there's like another element to this too, like he bumped into some caterer backstage and he's pissed too.
Well, let's not forget, he still has beef with Alex Riley, who's out of injury. Mm-hmm. Like, this guy is just like, everyone hates him.
Like, Ty Dillinger will come out next week and be like, hey, Kevin Owens, I don't like you either.
Well, Kevin Owens takes control of a mic. He said he would put out an NXT Open Challenge this evening, but he isn't insecure with himself. He prefers that if people are going to get a title shot, that they earn it.
And then people start clapping. It's like, yeah, damn right.
People were cheering for him. But no, once again, Kevin Owens cannot let people cheer for him. And during this time, they also start doing that John Cena sucks chant. Because obviously he was alluding to John Cena doing the U.S. Open Challenge. But Owens, being as great as he is, turns it right around on them, saying, funny thing about that chant is that you never say it for Sami Zayn, and he sucks too. Quickly, the crowd boos him again.
They're like, oh, wait, you're an asshole. I don't like you.
Masterful.
Oh, yeah, hey, you shouldn't be making fun of us.
Well, what it shows is that they like Sami Zayn more than they hate John Cena.
That's true. And that they're willing to go with the Sami Zayn feud instead of just being like, nah, I still like Kevin Owens, you know.
Kevin Owens begins defending himself that he's a good person, saying that he only did what he did to Sami Zayn because he wanted to stay champion and continue providing for his family. He's also good because he let Samoa Joe live at their confrontation at Unstoppable. Interesting. This prompts William Regal out, who mentions all the people that have been stretchered out lately since Owens has come onto the scene, which has, of course, been Alex Riley, Sami Zayn like 3 or 4 times now. Now Hideo Itami. Owens again denies any involvement in the Hideo Itami incident, though. And we get some kind of like static. I have no idea who it is. I actually thought it might have been CM Punk for a second. But no, it's Solomon Crowe. I'm not 100% familiar with this guy. As I said, I've missed a few weeks, so this guy has not been completely on my radar. I know that he is the former Sami Callihan from the indie scene. I don't know much about him as a person. I do know that his character sucks.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
Oh my gosh, like, the whole like package as far as his video and music isn't terrible, but like, this look he has, like, he has like... Remember those trolls you used to play with when you were little?
Mm-hmm. That's the first thing I thought of when I saw
his
him.
His hair looks like that.
Troll hair.
Only it's worse because they combined it with that stupid haircut that a lot of girls are doing these days where they shave half their head.
Mm-hmm.
And then he dyed just a small patch of it pink.
I wonder if he was talking to a therapist at the time.
This
inside joke.
This guy coming out confronting Owens, I did not buy it for 1 second. He comes out talking like this, and Kevin Owens even takes a crack at the way he talks, which was fantastic. Solomon Crowe wants a shot, and Kevin Owens and William Regal both grant it to him. That sets up our main event for the evening, Kevin Owens versus Solomon Crowe. Kevin Owens ends a segment by saying Regal can soon add Solomon Crowe to the list of people that he's going to have stretchered out.
I loved that. I love how he's like, wait a minute, how many people do you think I've taken out? Let's see. There's Finn Balor, there's Sami Zayn. And he's like, hey, I didn't have anything to do with it with Tommy. Like, I'll acknowledge the other ones, but not a Tommy. That was great. And, you know, what better threat than I've taken out all these people and this Sami Zayn, not Sami Zayn, this Sami Callihan joke, you know, look at this fucking guy. I'm going to take him out too. All right, see you later, buddy. Solomon Crowe is really like, I don't want to say that I hate the guy because, you know, I don't hate the guy, of course, but I don't see what's special.
He's not complete dog shit.
No.
And, you know, it's something we got to keep in mind throughout when we're doing this show is this is developmental. So I want to give the guy a chance. This is his place to learn. I'm just saying I don't think this is working out. And something I wanted to get to is what I know of him from his indie days is when I see pictures of him, his character looks more like a Frankenstein gutter punk type character. And that seems way cooler than what he's doing right now.
I don't understand the hacker thing because he does not look like the type of guy that I would imagine has the skills to be a hacker. I know that, like, you know, people come in all different shapes and sizes and stuff like that. But if I'm thinking of like the dude who's going to hack into the lighting board and change things around and, you know, take the lights down and stuff like that, I'm thinking it's one of two things. Either it's a really scrawny, nerdy guy with glasses, or it's this like overweight slob like the dudes that were in South Park. You know, it's one of those. It's not this dude who thinks that he's caught in between 30 different styles from the 80s.
At best, I can see it being kind of like the villain from Speed.
Yeah, he should be, what was it, Dennis Hoffman?
Dennis Hopper.
Yeah. Dennis Hoffman.
At best, you could do something like a Dean Ambrose could maybe pull a character like that.
Yeah, like he's, you know, the guy who spends so much time hacking his stuff that he doesn't really even care about taking a shower. But he's also weird-shaped.
Like, he's very weird-shaped, and his gear is...
It accentuates.
How many people wear doublets like that anymore? It just doesn't look good.
No, like, he could get away with wearing some other stuff if he had different gear where it doesn't show it off, but the fact that he's wearing that kind of stuff, it accentuates the weird shape that he has. Kind of like what Big E and Rusev have done.
Mm.
You know, like, they've got weird enough body shapes that it looks awkward with certain materials and stuff, and Solomon Crowe, he's like, if he was taller, I'd buy into it more, but he's kind of like this, like, I don't know, he's built like George Costanza. He's like a more muscular George Costanza.
Oh, gosh.
Stout and, you know, stocky. And he's not, like, he's clearly not fat. I mean, the guy's got muscles on him and stuff like that. But he's not intimidating looking when he's standing next to somebody like a Kevin Owens or, shit, even like the taller, skinnier people. It's weird.
Even William Regal, who was in the ring with him, looked more menacing against Kevin Owens than Sami Callihan did. Even William Regal, that's another guy who's getting some bad heat with Kevin Owens. Let's not forget Kevin Owens headbutted him at Unstoppable. It was awesome.
Oh, I like how he defended himself there. He's like, hold on a second. You hit me first.
we'll come back to Solomon Crowe. We get a video update from Hideo Itami from a physical rehab center. It was kind of rough, but, you know, it's fine. He's a foreign guy, so I think it's fine for him to talk the way he was. He's essentially just saying that when he comes back, no one will be able to stop him.
I do think it's funny, though, when you said this was rough, I immediately knew you were going to talk about him cutting the promo and not the surgery.
Right.
It was just like, someone attacked me, I come back, kick your ass, or something like that. He got the bullet points, you know.
He did.
He's struggling, but like you said, he's a foreigner. He's not used to speaking English. And it's going to take time.
And again, this is where people get to learn.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think a language is a barrier you can overcome. I mean, then again, we look at someone like Sin Cara who didn't even try, and it just was miserable. I think he will try, though. And I think he's a guy who's going to be stuck in developmental for a while anyway, just because I think it's going to take him longer to adjust to the style than some of these other guys have. Yeah. So for him to work on his English, too, is not a bad thing.
I would assume that he's probably not coming up until 2017.
Well, especially with this injury. And this will be a perfect time for him to work on something like his English. You know, yeah. He's sitting home, you know, he can't do too much rehab. He can fire up some Rosetta Stone or something and get to work.
That's so, like, awkward, though, that the promo was just, there was this dude in the background. The guy getting, in the like, background, yeah. What he must like, getting, be like, thinking. His blood pressure taken or something with the pack on his arm. And he's just, like, looking forward, just kind of, like, dazed out of his mind. And I wanted them to pan over and just be like, so what's up with you, buddy?
Just imagine hearing, like, someone talk about something like that while you're sitting there. It's like, man, this guy's really out for revenge for whoever, like, hurt him. Like, yeah. Imagine you don't know it's a wrestling thing. You just hear someone in an emergency room, like, I'm going to come back and kick everybody ass.
Like, the guy's looking at the people filming and he's like, yo, what are you guys filming here? Like, do I have to worry about being bunk beds with this dude?
It also looked like it was just on a cell phone. So it's not like they had like a whole camera crew there. It was probably just like, he probably just asked his doctor to do it.
Can you film me? Yeah, what are we filming here? I want to tell them I kick ass.
So we go to another backstage type segment with Renee Young interviewing Zack Ryder, of all people. They said he was in the audience at Unstoppable. I don't remember them showing him. Maybe I just looked away for a second. I don't know. Zack Ryder doesn't get to speak for long, though. He's interrupted by Mojo Rawley, who jumps in with all the hype, yelling, I gotta do something, and then runs off. Like, well, why'd you even come in? Like, you just came in to yell, I'm hyped! I gotta go do something, I'll be back.
Yeah, I did like that, too. I gotta go do something. The fuck are you gonna do? Run around?
He didn't have a match.
No. And I don't remember them showing either of them. They showed Eva Marie. They showed the Mountain from Game of Thrones. They showed Stephanie. They showed, what was it, like another group of people or something.
Well, they showed all the new class members.
Yeah, that's what it was. And I don't remember them showing Zack Ryder or Mojo Rawley. Maybe Mojo Rawley was like running around the arena at the time.
He was just caught on camera while it was panning around someplace. Yeah. I gotta say, I'm intrigued. If this is the tag team that they're gonna make, this is the first interest I've had in Zack Ryder in quite some time.
I've always liked Zack Ryder, and I've always thought that they didn't really give him as much as they should have, especially with that US title reign that was ridiculous. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, as much as I don't like Mojo Rawley, this seems very interesting. It's odd. Like, Zack Ryder's the one that's going to be the normal one.
Yeah, exactly.
He's sitting there going like, oh, Jesus Christ, this fucking Mojo Rawley dude. I gotta go do something. Be right back.
You know what it kind of reminds me? It reminds me of the heyday of the E! True Hollywood star Tree Long Island Story that he did when it was him and Big O.
Big O. Maybe that's what they're going for. Maybe he's supposed to be Big Mo.
Big Mojo.
Big Mojo. The Mojo Zone.
I look forward to seeing if they develop that, or if it's just, just like a one little time tease. That's unfortunate, because I think this might be the last shot that either of those guys have, and I actually think it could work. I will give it a chance. And I'm curious to see what their
matching gear is.
Maybe they, oh God, I hope they don't bring back like that one leg monstrosity and have them like having opposite legs.
I would be down for that. I loved the one leg. I thought it looked ridiculous.
Well, I thought Mojo Rawley was going to be coming out for a match next because he said he had to go do something. But no, we had a Divas match, or a women's match, as they're actually called down there.
He's just running around the arena. They're like, Mojo, can you at least, like, I don't know, load some equipment or something to help us out? All right, give me the box. I got to give you something at the box.
We had Bayley versus Emma with Dana Brooke ringside for Emma. I think we'll have enough time to talk about Dana Brooke on another day. She really didn't do too much here. The commentators are telling the story of Emma trying to help Bayley be more serious, but also that perhaps it's just Emma being frustrated with her own failures on the main roster. Very true. Emma was a very big hit down in NXT, but pretty much as soon as she made it up to that main roster, she just bombed
terribly.
And some of that can be blamed on that whole situation with Steel and the iPad case and how they might have jumped the gun on punishing her, but I just don't think her old character was gonna meld as well up to the main roster anyway.
No, because it's a really, like, I don't want to say it's like just like a dumb character. It is, mm-hmm. but it's not something that you can look at and be like, oh yeah, we've got money in this.
It's not lovable like Bailey.
No, Bailey is like adorable. Mm-hmm. And I really like, especially lately, I mean, I've liked Bailey for a while. Mm-hmm. At first, I didn't really see too much of like the amazing stuff, but she's been growing on me a lot. And when I watched this episode, I was thinking to myself, you know what? This girl has so much to offer.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can tell that she not only loves doing this, but that she's coming of it at it from the angle of somebody who has loved it forever.
She has so much positive energy. Like, yeah. I can't remember the last time I saw someone just exuding so much positive energy.
She's got, you know, the idea of the weird, like, outfit. Like, it's kind of like Randy Savage-y, sort mm-hmm. of. It's bright and it's colorful, so that gets attention. But she's got the little wristbands that she's hanging out, handing out to the crowd.
Which is such a big thing. Like, mm-hmm. for one thing, you could sell those, but it's also just, like, a connection to the crowd as she's coming out. It's like the Rey Mysterio touching heads with the kids.
Yeah, or the sunglasses that Bret Hart used to do. Mm-hmm. And well, there was a great part at the beginning of this before she got into the ring where she got onto the I think she actually got fully onto the apron.
She was on the apron, yeah, and she jumped down and hugged the girl.
Hugged the one little girl. Oh, yeah, because she was like, oh, that little girl's going to like remember this. And I was like, damn, like you get extra bonus points from me for that, because she's looking at her and going, well, that's what I used to be. And, you know, I commend her a lot for that, because so many people don't do that. And it's not just like the assholes, you know, like a Randy Orton. Randy Orton would be like, no, fuck you, little kid. But even the ones that care more seem like they've kind of lost track of that over the years, you know, like a Rey Mysterio. Mysterio would try to do that, and, you know, he'd headbutt the little kids, and we've always been, like, wondering what the fuck he used to say. He'd be like, yo, buy merchandise. But he'd walk right past a couple other kids, and they'd be, like, so disappointed. And mm-hmm. it's like Bailey looks around and makes sure she's not skipping out on them. I really, really like Bailey a lot. And then with Emma, she, like, tried to have that kind of a character to an extent.
Mm.
But it was just, like, you take out all the personality, and you just have her popping bubbles and the Emma Mite sandwich and crap. It was, it was terrible, and there was no way that was going to work.
No, no. So Bailey's being a fantastic babyface, but Emma making a very awkward transition to a heel, too. I think she has a better upside to it if she can nail it, but she still hasn't fully got it down. She still just kind of, like, walks out, you know, stands at the top of the apron, mm-hmm. doesn't smile, and she thinks she's a heel. Like, no, you got to do some more with that. Her ring gear is way better.
Her entrance theme, they changed that.
It still starts with the boop, 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 and then just switches to whatever.
Yeah, it's kind of a little bit awkward, like they haven't figured it out yet. It's do 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 do. I'm a heel, fuck. So they need to tweak that a little bit more. But we're talking about the same people that did the longest time that they had Goldust and Stardust, where they weren't even in the actual one song. Mm. They just played both songs back to back.
Well, they did, so remember for Rated RKO, they did that too. Oh, that was horrendous. This match, though, it was okay. As far as these NXT women's matches, we've gotten a very high standard, so I would say it's fallen below the norm, but it was by no means bad. Like I said, Emma, I think, is just more figuring out how to fight as a heel. Bailey's great. She can come up anytime, but this match was just an average TV match. Emma wins with the Emma Lock submission, which that looked fantastic. That's one of my favorite submission finishers around right now, is that Emma Lock submission, because the way she was wrenching it, too, it looked fantastic.
That does look good. It looks like it would hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had too many submissions that don't look like they would hurt. STF.
And now that she's gotten rid of that stupid dance she used to do when she fell back for it, it actually looks like she's going to hurt somebody.
Mm-hmm.
After the match, Dana Brooke comes into the ring and they both do the double team on Bailey, but Charlotte comes down for the save. This proves to be too much for Charlotte, though. Dana Brooke hits her finisher on Charlotte, which looks to be some kind of like attitude adjustment. I'm not really sure what it is, but I don't know. Dana Brooke is a mess. This chick is so green. I know this is developmental, but they have basically two crews on NXT. They have a crew that's on their shows and a crew that's not on the shows yet, or they do the dark matches, or they just work in the facility. And she should be on that second crew.
Yeah, it's a shame. She's got a good look to her. I mean, she does look a little bit like, what should I say, like processed. It sounds really terrible.
Like beef?
No, like she, you know, the stereotypical, like, the bimbo with the Botox kind of thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But she's a good-looking girl. She's got the muscles for her. She looks like exactly what they would be going for.
But, man,
she is green.
Well, you know what? And talking about how, like, Bayley seems like she's such a genuine wrestling lover, I don't get that from Dana Brooke.
Not at all.
I don't know what her motivation is or why she's here. I feel like she probably wanted to be a fitness model, and it just didn't work out. And this is, like, another path for her, and that very rarely works out good.
You know who she reminds me a lot of? Not in personality, because their personalities are totally different, but as far as, like, her look and probably her passion, Jamie Keyes. Ooh. Remember her?
No.
She was on the women's edition of NXT, and she was actually on, I think, season 2 beforehand. She was one of the ring announcers, and she came in, and she was, I think, the first woman eliminated from the women's edition of that. Very muscular, blonde, good-looking girl who was a fitness model beforehand, and then they released her, and then she went back to fitness modeling. Like, Dana Brooke seems like that to me. She seems like she's somebody who she got into this because it'll be something on her resume.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And she really likes doing that fucking pose. I'm so sick of that.
She has two of them. She has the one where she looks like she's, like, flicking dust off her hips, and then she has the other one. She looks like she's giving her arm a massage.
Yeah, and she did that, I think, 3 or 4 times in this. It was like, let me just stand around and hover over Charlotte and do this and then do that and then do it in the side. And then when Emma hits, like, you know, a really good move, instead of, like, clapping, it's like, oh, let me massage my arm.
As far as her look, I agree. She reminds me kind of like a Beth Phoenix, who I always really liked. But again, I see right through her. I don't see her as someone who should be here.
No, and she's going to be there for a long time, I think.
No, actually, I think the opposite. I think they're going to rush her to the main roster as soon as they can.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
See, I would have thought that she'd be that person that they keep her in NXT because they're like, you're just not good enough, and we were going to put this person up and this person up.
They brought Eva Marie up, like, 2 weeks after signing her.
Yeah, but she hasn't been on there for a while.
This is true.
And now they're kind of, they have her working with Brian Kendrick.
Mm-hmm.
And she did that whole thing where she said that she was going to be on NXT. I think that they realized that that's a mistake. Now she's going to be on NXT more.
Well, I think they rushed her for Total Divas. That's all that was.
Yeah.
Did you see that video that her and Brian Kendrick put together? Epic wrestling training?
No, I didn't see that one.
Okay, I'm not going to spoil that one. Go check that one out. It's a video. I think they just put it out today.
Is it like being facetious?
Yeah.
Okay, good, because I was going to say, I don't think this should be very epic.
No, it's like epic meal time, basically, but with wrestling training. So we go, just one more final thing I just want to say. It looks like this feud is continuing, which I could do without.
Yeah.
We go backstage for another interview with Baron Corbin, who is interrupted by Rhino, who is breathing real heavily, saying, "That was fun. Real fun. We should do it again.
Real soon." That was very awkward.
Very awkward. And again, another feud that's continuing that just doesn't need to.
I was half expecting him to be like, "I'm gonna go now."
I gotta do something. Yeah. Something.
But you're all gonna be like, "We could do something together, buddy."
We have
Corbin, he held his own on the mic a little bit better than I thought he would, though. I don't think I've ever heard him talk.
I can't recall any time hearing him talk either, and he's not horrendous. Huh. I'm the jury's still out on Baron Corbin for me.
He's green.
He's green, but I haven't formed an opinion on him yet. He shows a lot of good signs, and he shows a lot of shit, too.
I have more faith in Baron Corbin than Dana Brooke.
Yeah, leaps and bounds, absolutely. My biggest worry for Baron Corbin, actually, more than anything, is that receding hairline. Because, I mean, for as young as he is to already have that problem, by the time he gets to the main roster, I mean, Hulk Hogan rocked the 80s with a skullet, so we can't judge too much. This was a really awesome thing they did. They had this video package for Becky Lynch, telling her whole story from wrestling all over the world. They had all these really awesome early photos. There was one of them where she was with Natty and a group of other, female wrestlers. They had a really great one of her and Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens together. Kevin Owens' mad pimply face when he was younger.
Yeah.
They acknowledged her heel Irish jig character, or not a heel, her Irish jig character that she did, though. That was just awful. So lame. I remember we watched that actually when we were I think that was at Too Many Games last year. That was almost a year ago now. And that was,
although I think we were a little bit too distracted with Bull Dempsey.
Yes.
Yeah. We're just like, look at this fat slob.
and how she's evolved into her steampunk present. This was a great video, and they don't do stuff like this enough for anybody, let alone the main roster. But to do this for her is just great character development. And honestly, if people weren't cemented into her being a babyface after her performance at Unstoppable, this should have done it.
Yeah, this was a definite babyface vignette. They did everything from, I've been doing this for a long time, and I'm really dedicated, and I'm passionate, and I found myself, and, you know, now I'm unstoppable, and you'll be able to buy into me more and stuff. Like, this was setting her up to be maybe the top babyface when somebody like Charlotte leaves.
Charlotte's barely doing anything right now.
Yeah, I think that she's coming up.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that Charlotte's being phased out, and it's definitely being set up for her to be the top babyface.
Mm-hmm. Her and Bayley.
Mm-hmm.
And then Sasha Banks, and then hopefully not Dana Brooke, will be like the top heels.
It seems like she's kind of losing her accent that she had.
I'm glad. Yeah. I don't like that accent.
I think it loses a bit of her identity, because Finn Balor doesn't seem like he's lost it at all. He's still keeping his accent when he talks.
Oh, I'd be totally down for him losing it, because I don't like him doing it either.
Okay, then.
Yeah. No, that's one of those accents that kind of is, like, ear-grating to me. Scottish is worse, but Irish is very, like, it's a very strong accent.
Mm.
And I'm not too big on accents in general. Like, I think the British accent is, like, the only one that I actually like hearing.
But Australian?
Australian's, like, the obnoxious version of the British one.
That's Corky.
Yeah, it's like the Sean Walker impression.
Yeah, exactly. So we have a couple jobbers in the ring. They're getting ready to face Blake and Murphy, and I'm sure you're happy for the newly formed BAMF, Blake Alexa Murphy faction. Yeah, Blake and Murphy have recruited the services of Alexa Bliss. She does look fantastic in the new outfit they've gotten her. She re-dyed the tips of her hair to match the Blake and Murphy colors. I think they've worked her into their entrance really nicely, like the way how she greets them in the middle and the way that mm-hmm. they lift her into the ring. Like, this whole package made a lot of sense together. And I got to tell you, it's given Blake and Murphy more development in...
than ever.
Yeah, than ever. Like, they actually kind of, like, make sense as a team to me now that they have her, as strange it is that they helped.
Yeah, it is odd. I'm a huge fan of Alexa Bliss in a lot of other ways, too. I think that she's actually very talented in the ring, and she's decent on the mic, too. Like, it's surprising. She seems like this, I don't know, this adorable little cuddly stuffed animal or something like that that I just want to, like, pet. But not only is she gorgeous, she is definitely helping this team out. And if they're going to be rocking these pigtails and stuff, like, she needs to one-up them.
Hmm.
But I thought it was funny that the commentators even specifically were like, how good does she look in red? Just like, god damn. But Blake and Murphy are an odd duo.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the latest WWE inbox is, how do they classify it? It's something like advice for people submitting Tough Enough videos. And it's really only Billy Gunn and Blake and Murphy.
Mm.
And I forget, I think Corey Graves pops up in it like twice. But Blake and Murphy are really awkward in that. They're like, just be us, because we're great. And we've got, like, muscles and stuff. It's like, Alexa Bliss can be like, you guys can just shut up and I'll do the talking, because it's so much better. I love this the new direction for Alexa Bliss.
And it's a great heel tactic, because seeing these two losers hanging around this hot smoking chick,
mm-hmm.
It's going to be fantastic.
It just gets under your skin, and it's like, but what? No!
This is a typical exhibition match for Blake and Murphy, just to go out there and beat up a couple jobbers. After they get the pinfall, they continue the attack on them and even allow Alexa Bliss to hit her sparkle splash, which is awkward. I don't like that finisher. It just looks weird.
Credit to the commentators, though. They mentioned on the whole, like, sparkle thing that she was doing before. I think it was Corey Graves, actually. He said, well, she's all about, like, the things that are glitzy and glamoury, and what better than the tag titles? They're shining bright.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, nice.
Yeah. You're
playing around with this. You justified it a little bit more.
They did do a good job saying that on commentary. And after the match, they actually had a backstage interview with Devin Taylor asking Alexa Bliss why she's with them. And she says, well, I want to be with winners. And these guys are winners.
Mm-hmm.
Typical. It's just reminds me very much of Sunny. Hopefully she doesn't go down the same path.
I would. Well, you know what? I don't know. If she goes down the path of doing Vivid Entertainment right now, I'd be down for that. But I don't want her to see her doing Skype calls and getting arrested all the time.
How about taking photos in bed with her?
All right. Well, let's see. I want to see the pictures of her in bed, not with these like sweaty losers that would spend $75 for that. Oh, look at that. I'm sitting next to Sonny. We totally did it, guys.
We have Ty Dillinger in the ring next, who is still employed, if you were curious. He's getting ready for a match with the number one contender to the NXT title, Finn Balor, who is, I gotta say, my favorite wrestler in NXT, so you're gonna hear me singing his praises very, very often. This was a very basic match. Balor got the pin with his coup de grace, and the crowd was happy to see Finn Balor come out.
I'm waiting to hear you sing instead of talk. You gotta start singing his praises.
Oh,
best I'm gonna do. All right, Hank Hill.
Balor. We have Jason Jordan. If you forgot him, he used to be tag partners with Ty Dillinger, working out with a tire. Something I don't know what's going on there. Jason says
it's all tired.
He's found the perfect tag team partner replacement for Ty Dillinger. But he's approached by another fella by the name of Chad Gable, who even has a towel to introduce himself with.
Next Ricky Ortiz.
He goes on singing his own praises, saying that he was in the Olympics. You ever heard of it? Of course I've heard of the Olympics. Jordan says he has a partner, though, but he'll call him if he needs him. This was the debut of Chad Gable, am I correct? I don't think we've ever seen this guy before.
I have never seen him, but... maybe he like was the jobber in something like this, Mike Rollis and Elias Samson.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Maybe, you know, it was like Chad Gable lost to, I don't know, Adrian Neville one day or something like that.
You got this guy's not familiar to me, and I didn't do my research to find out who he was before coming to NXT. But I'm interested. We'll see where that goes.
Good old Cable.
The guy can kind of remind me almost of like a Kurt Angle when he first came in, and I know they have a bunch of guys who are like collegiate athletes. I don't know if he is one of those guys. I feel like the way they introduced him would make him seem that way. I don't know if this guy is a legit former Olympian. I have a feeling he was probably just making that up. But
I wonder if he's going to go the route of, like, he's kind of like a jackass, but he can actually get it done in the ring.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. It kind of reminds me of Kurt Angle.
Possibly.
Or, like, how Bo Dallas should have been.
Poor Ty Dillinger, though. Like, I forget who it was. It was either Samoa Joe or Kevin Owens. Might have been Kevin Owens. Said that he's the most underrated person that they have. Actually, yeah, I think it was Kevin Owens, and I'm thinking that, like, he's not getting anywhere near as much credit as he should and stuff. And it's like, he seems like he's a good hand, but that they just don't ever want to invest in him.
I think they just don't know what to do with him yet. And they haven't fired him, so, I mean, that's a good sign. But, I mean, they've been trying different stuff with him once in a while. I just don't think they know what to do with him.
That's odd, though, that they had him come up to ECW as Gavin Spears for a little bit. Mm-hmm. Then they got rid of him, and then they brought him back, and it... I don't know, maybe they like him enough, like, in the ring to just have him be one of those loser guys. Maybe that just like
Jamie Noble?
Yeah, like, maybe that's what they're kind of going for. They're like, look, we can't make you a star. You're not a star, but you are very reliable. You can be the next Curt Hawkins for the next couple of years. Mm-hmm. Like,
it's a job.
Yeah, you know? He's going to earn more money doing that than he's going to earn if he's just, like, going around, you know, wrestling in a bunch of terrible, like, bingo halls and stuff.
I think a lot of wrestling fans lose sight of that, where they think it's all about the glory. Let's remember, this is a show with performers that just want to make money to put dinner on the table. Like, it's not just a thing Kevin Owens is saying. Like, these guys need to make money to live. So sometimes it's just what you got to do. And if you want to be a wrestler and that's your shot to do it, like, you do it.
Look at all those people that make an acting living being on commercials.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some of them, you know, they get their like bit parts in different TV shows and stuff. There's that dude with the weird voice who's always kind of talking like this. And he's been on TV shows. He's on that mom show, and he was on Community and stuff like that. But he's mostly like the Comcast cable guy and stuff. And if Ty Dillinger is like the commercial actor equivalent, hey, if he makes enough money, he can put aside a little bit of that. Perfectly fine.
So let's head to our main event here. We have Kevin Owens against Solomon Crowens. This is a set up during our first segment of the show. Kevin Owens begins the match by once again jumping out of the ring as soon as the bell sounds. Which, again, old school heel tactics. If anyone's getting pissed at this, it's because you're supposed to. So, Crow goes after him, but Owens manages to get the best of him with the first kick and just continues beating him down for the better part of this match. He continues throwing him out of the ring and making him try to get in before the 10 count, which just made this match drag on for so long. Like, I think they did 3 or 4 count out teases. It just got so annoying. Crow tries to make his comeback, but it's short-lived. Owens hits his pop-up powerbomb for the pin. Any thoughts about this match before we say what happens after the match?
It was a little bit tough to get through compared to some of the other matches on the night. At this point, I kind of like, you know, started doing some other stuff and had it on in the background.
Mm.
Especially because he knew that, like, there's no way Solomon Crowe's going to put up that much of a fight.
He looks like a... pull out a surprise victory over the champion. Like, oh, maybe he'll be the next challenger. You know, he's got a victory over the champion. He's a number one contender. Like, yeah, no.
That was like,
it's not going to happen.
Not going to happen at all. Like, it was just, let's wait and see what they do with something else. And, of course, when you look at Solomon Crowe, it's awkward enough. So it's better to, like, listen to the match and stuff. As good as, like, Kevin Owens is and stuff, and this is still better than some of the other things that we see on a regular basis, but, you know, I can't really sing its praises too much, especially because I can't sing.
Well, after the match, Owens throws Crow out of the ring. He's about to do the powerbomb onto the apron, but we hear the evil horns and then the smooth jazz. And that can only mean one thing. Samoa Joe makes his way to the ring. But just as Joe is stepping in, Kevin Owens jumps out saying, "This was a warning. Next time, that's going to be you laying on the ground," while he's pointing at Crow. And what I think was probably the most interesting line he said, "You should have stayed in oblivion."
Yeah.
Owens raises his belt on the ramp, saying, "The champ is here," does the "You can't see me" taunt at Samoa Joe, walks off as we fade to black. Very interesting.
I do love that Samoa Joe theme, though.
Do you?
It's odd. And it's like, it's not what I would have pictured. You know, the Godzilla thing, and then it's just kind of like, do, 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 Samoa Joe going to theme. But it's interesting. I think that's going to be one of those ones that, like, when they release it, I'm going to listen to it a lot and then end up, like, downloading.
I think they need to just make a few tweaks to it and it might be fine. Right now, it's just a little too... maybe it's just too repetitious. I think it just needs some more dynamics to it.
It reminds me of, if anybody has watched the end of the year awards that we do, the end theme that I use for that, which I love. It's kind of got this like Vegas casino vibe to it.
What do you think about the continuing of Joe and Owens though?
Good old Samoa Joe-ins.
Samoa Joe-ins.
They need to do more than what they're doing. And I think they need to establish where Finn Balor comes in,
because
he's getting lost in the shuffle right now, and that's kind of a shame. He is the number one contender, and Sami Zayn, of course, is like on everybody's mind, but nobody's talking about Finn Balor.
I think that's probably just something that's just going to linger until we get close to the next special, and that'll
when
probably
is the
be
next
the
one. I have that written down on the schedule. Let me bring that up.
It's like September, I think they usually do the next one.
August 12th.
August.
That is the next one. So, you know, they've got quite a bit of time, but I can't imagine them really going with just, like, Finn Balor against him.
Think they'll do a triple threat?
Maybe, because they got to do something with Samoa Joe. And if they wait until the one that goes after that, that's way too far. I mean, the next one after that's October 7th. There's no way they're dragging out Samoa Joe and him until October. So maybe like Finn Balor gets a title shot on not this set of tapings, because this they did already like the four of them and he doesn't. Maybe he gets like end of July or something and Samoa Joe comes out and tries to help out or, you know, whatever and build up to a triple threat. That would make sense to me.
Well, something else that news that actually just came out today, and again, believe what you want from the scoopscoopscoops.com reports. But they're saying that Kevin Owens is fully main roster bound, that this whole thing with John Cena is his official debut, and he's going to be on Raw full time going forward.
Which means that he probably should drop the title.
Yeah.
Not like right now.
Not this week, but like the next event. Yeah, you would think so.
Mm-hmm. And if he's going to drop the title, Do you really think he's going to drop the Finn Balor?
Yes, actually, that's been my pick for a while. I think Finn Balor is going to be the face of NXT after for the rest of this year.
I wonder how they're going to like accomplish this, because it's tricky. Like,
you don't think that Finn Balor could just beat Joe or Kevin Owens clean?
I don't think so. I think that the way that they're building Owens up, it needs to be something that happens. And maybe that's Samoa Joe. Maybe.
What if they do a gimmick match? What if they do like a ladder match or something?
Ladder match, I could see. That'll be really interesting, though, because if he's on the main roster, they got to start setting him up with a feud with somebody else. And, you know, Money in the Bank's coming up.
I don't think they'll put him into that. I think that they're going to continue him and Cena through that.
That would be interesting, though, if we've got
Kevin Owens get Money in the Bank. Oh, that'd be insane.
You know, an NXT guy holding Money in the Bank. Never done that before.
Imagine that he used the briefcase to get the NXT title back. He's like, this is what means more. That would actually like really help that title like seem important.
That would. I've been saying for a long time, they need to make it to where you could challenge for any belt.
What did you think about that line where he said you should have stayed in oblivion?
It's so good. Because it's true. TNA's fucking oblivion.
And especially considering the eerie timing of Joe making his debut on the NXT special last week, and like within an hour of the special going off, all the news about TNA's troubles with Destination America came out.
A shame for TNA that they just keep getting all this bad publicity, isn't it? Like, you never see any good things happen. Even when they got the Destination America deal, which was like, this could save TNA, the idea behind it was like, this shitty network might save TNA for a little bit before they go under anyway. Like, and it's like Samoa Joe comes out and everybody's like, oh man, Samoa Joe, that's awesome. And Josh Matthews has to be like, yo, you didn't give a shit about him when he was in TNA. And everybody's like, yep. Fucking oblivion, you know. Kevin Owens, he speaks the truth in like every promo, and he's got the right name for TNA. It's fucking, not only are they oblivious to how to run a company, it is oblivion for a career, because when you go to TNA, you're not really, you know, excelling.
And I also like to think of the Elder Scrolls version of oblivion, which is what they call hell. So
career hell.
So with that, that wraps up this edition of the NXT review for Next Gen Podcast. Any final thoughts you want to say about this episode? It's a pretty inconsequential episode. It's basically just continuing the stories that were told to us from NXT TakeOver Unstoppable. A lot of the feuds are continuing, which I don't necessarily think is for the best for a lot of these, but any thoughts you got to add?
Yeah, this was not the best episode in the world, but you know what? I was bored and I wanted to put something on, just, you know, watch something and work on stuff in the background and whatever. And it was perfect for that. It's so much easier to digest an episode of NXT than it is for SmackDown or Main Event or Superstars or Raw or even a lot of the specials that they have. Like NXT, either they hit the nail on the head and they just really knock it out of the park, or worst case scenario, it's just something decent to put on for an hour. And that was more so for this one, but it still had some gems.
All right, so let's close things out here. I'm going to give Tony an opportunity here to tell you about some other projects he's got going on. I highly recommend you listen till the end of the show to hear about these things, because if you thought this was cool, you'll think this other stuff is cool too. Tony, go ahead.
Alrighty, guys, we mentioned before smarkoutmoment.com. That's my wrestling website where we do pretty much everything that you could expect us to do. But if you are more into the podcast side of things, then you should obviously check out iTunes and Stitcher and youtube.com/smarkoutmoment for the Smack Talk podcast and everything else that we do for that. If you want to hear us ramble about some other stuff, if you are a fan of geek culture, then you can check out fanboysanonymous.com. And we're on those three avenues for the podcast as well. But not .com/smarkoutmoment. That's .com/fanboysanonymous. And for our even more random rambling, as if it couldn't get even more random than that, we have the All Talk Show, which is on similar markets, you know, iTunes, Stitcher, youtube.com/alltalkshow. We do those live on Mega Powers Radio every once in a while. And if you want to be taking part in the live episodes, then just follow the Facebook account and we will alert you whenever we do that.
All right. I want to thank everyone out there for checking out this first inaugural episode of the Next Gen Podcast, where we review NXT every week. You can find this show available as part of the Mega Powers Radio Collective at megapowersradio.com. This is also going to be on the Mega Powers Radio YouTube channel, so search for us on there. It might take a little bit while for us to get approved, but you will be able to find this podcast on iTunes and Stitcher and therefore subscribe to it. So I will make a proper announcement of that. Where you can find that announcement, you could find it on our Facebook or Twitter pages, which would be either facebook.com/nextgenpodcast or Twitter is at Next Gen Podcast. So thank you all for listening this evening. We'll catch you on next week talking about NXT. See you on the flip-flop.